Jesus Christ. I'm going to start with a reading today, and it's from Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You know, we all know that. What a wonderful, wonderful verse from the Old Testament. You know, how wonderful is for us to meet today, celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, tomorrow is Christmas Day. It's not just another day. It's a special day. It wasn't just another child born that night, but a special child. You know, and we're here today remembering this. I'm going to turn to the Christmas story, which is in, I'm a traditionalist, so you're going to hear about Christmas here and joy. And I'm going to turn to Luke and the second chapter, and I'm going to read 1 through 21. And it says, "And it came to pass that in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into its own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at this thing which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished from the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That long winter night, I am sure there were many children born that night. But this infant in Bethlehem was far from being an ordinary child. You know, it was God's plan that was fulfilled. You know, God, the birth of Jesus. You know, we are celebrating that this day. You know, Christmas is the most celebrated holiday. Approximately 85% of Americans celebrate Christmas. It has become commercialized, And there are many that don't focus and understand the true meaning of Christmas. You know, I know everyone here today knows and understands what we are celebrating, the birth of Jesus Christ and God's plan of salvation. This is a beautiful time of year with the twinkling of Christmas lights. People are happy, have giving hearts, and are filled with joy. You know, when we look around, I mean, all of December, all of November, December, everybody is happy, I think. You know, and what a joy it is to have happiness in the world and have this love of others. My favorite song is Joy to the World. So we normally start with Joy to the World, and I said, we can't sing that there because we're going to sing it here in a minute. I'm going to have you stay seated and sing it, but I want to read the words to this song, but I'll tell you a little bit about the song. Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts. It was his interpretation of Psalm 98:4, which says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. He pondered the real reason for shouting joyfully to the Lord. And that is that the Messiah has come to redeem us. So let's turn to 52 in the hymnal. And I've asked our sister, Kate, to play for us. But we can stay seated and sing this song. You know, I love the song. I love its joyous sound. I could see as we all sang the joy on our faces, the joy that the Lord brings to us. You know, we have joy in our journey with God. We have joy when we walk with the Lord by our sides and put our faith and trust in Him. 2 Nephi 9:1-33 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Psalms 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. And we know that You know, we can strive for perfection, and we should, but God is perfect. And it says, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. You know, he is there for us. He is there for us through trials. He's there through us through goodness, through happy days. But he's there. You know, last Sunday night, you know what, I have one more. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, what joy we have. You know, last Sunday night, we were able to watch our children as they participated in the Sunday School Christmas program. They acted out the birth of Jesus, read scriptures, they sang songs. This morning, we were able to see our youth sing and praise and rejoice in the Lord. And you could see that excitement and joy on their faces. And it brings us joy. You know, we, as a grandpa, as a parent, as an aunt and uncle, you know, when we see our children and we see them praising God, it brings us joy in our hearts. You know, it's wonderful to watch our children at this time of year, seeing the twinkle in their eyes and the happiness on their faces as they praise the Lord. This year, as always, I've been blessed, but the Lord blessed me this year, and I made a big change here. And so back in August, I decided to make a career change. And so after working in the printing industry, my degree's in graphic arts, and I've been in the printing industry 39 years, in an office, at a computer, with adult coworkers, I decided to make a change. And I now work with 3 to 5 year olds in the independent school district. You know, and I know that God directed me to make this change. You know, in every job, there's challenges. You know, every job that we have, you know, we have easy times, we have challenges. And even in this, I have challenges. You know, children are fun, they're exciting, but there's times you gotta reprimand them a little to keep them so that they can learn. And, but the joy that this job brings is abundant. You know, this job, I joined my wife's been in the district for 27 years. Lindsay's a high school teacher. Tony's an in-school suspension teacher. And so I just decided to join the crowd here. And so not that I want my summers off, but that could help too, you know. You know, I am a priority sub. So what I do at the school is I'm a building sub. I am there every day. I am in whatever classroom needs me. If a teacher's missing, I'm in there. And I am there with these children. And in this position, I get to know and work with about 200 children. 200 children. And I've learned a lot of new and unique names. You will never believe all the different names there are out there now. But God has blessed me to be able to remember and call each child by name. And that's, you know, we all have strengths. We all have things that God has blessed us with. And one of mine is a memory of names. And so I think it's a great fit. You know, when I walk down the halls in the school building, so I know every kid in the building because I've been in every classroom. And we're actually at semester now. And so I know every kid, and I get to see them, get to see that smile on their face. When I walk down the halls in the school building or on the playground, you know, it's wonderful to see their excitement on their faces as they yell, Mr. David. And you know, I go by Mr. David there. I figure Mr. Rudd kind of sounds old. So Mr. David is who I am. But they want to high five me. They want a fist bump. They want a hug. You know, what joy. What joy. And I had a teacher that was walking behind me the other day, and she witnessed the kids calling out my name with this joy. And she said, you are really popular, you know? And so, you know, that keeps me going in there, that these kids are wonderful. You know, it brings me joy to know that they have that excitement for me. When I'm in their classroom, I always want to bring them joy and encouragement by making them feel special, pointing out something special about them, and encourage them to learn and to be kind to each other. You know, do we do that in life with adults, with everybody that we come in contact with? Do we encourage? Do we point out things, their goodness, the good things about them, instead of telling them the things that are wrong? And so our children are learning from our example. You know, so these kids learn from my example, but we can learn from them. And they're sweet kids. You know, I'm going to turn to Matthew 18. And I'm going to read the first four verses. It says, at that same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what does Jesus mean when he says, be like a little child? And I know in here what he wants is he wants us to have humbleness. He wants us to have humility. And he wants us to trust in him. You know, these children trust in us adults. But we need to have that same trust with our God. I'm going to turn to Mosiah 2, and this is on page 221. And I'm just going to read three verses. So Mosiah 2, page 221, I'm going to start with 21. It says, and humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You know, we must be humble. We must know that we are nothing without our God. And that we depend on him, but he wants us to seek him in our lives. He wants us to seek him, ask him daily to walk with us, to be with us. And if we ask him every morning to be with us, there's a better chance we're going to do the right thing. You know, if we know that he is right there with us. You know, the other day, one of my students wore a T-shirt. And if you know me, I like T-shirts. I don't have a T-shirt with a saying on it. I do. But he had this T-shirt on, and it said, "I am his masterpiece." And it says Ephesians 2:10. And so Ephesians 2:10 happened to be the theme of this year's Temple Out Rally. And so I knew what the verse was, but I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, by this three-year-old, he was a little three-year-old, his name's Jaziel, and a sweet little kid, has this shirt on, and it touched my heart to remind me of the path that I should follow and the greatness of our Lord. You know, our focus should be to follow God's commandments, be an example to others of God's goodness by doing good works, and striving to serve and glorify our Lord. Are we a good example? You know, as we're in the world, are we a good example? Can people see the love of God from our actions? I know when we're here, we can see the love of God. We're filled. We are good people. But are we good people when we're out in the world? And I know we are. I know we are. But keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. The things we say, the things we do, we're busy. We're busy. And maybe we don't mean to say things we say because we're busy in a hurry. But step back and I think the most important thing is every morning, ask God to be with you. Ask him to lead your life. And I think I know it'll put us in that right frame of mind. I'm going to read from Colossians 3. And this is how we need to be. We need to be. One of my favorite, I say that on a lot of them, but this is one of my favorites. And at Colossians 3, I'm going to start with 1 through 4. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And isn't that our desire? Isn't that our desire, to appear with him in glory? Then I'm going to drop down to 12, and it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful." You know, are we thankful? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." I've asked our sister Kate to, we're not going to sing here, I'm just going to say the words to O Holy Night. We know this song. It's a beautiful, beautiful Christmas song. And I'm just going to read the words, and I just want her to play in the background. You know, she has been blessed by God with the talents that he has given her. And love to hear her play. And so I'm going to have her play as I read the words. It says, "O Holy Night, peaceful night, let me start again. Sorry about that. The page in front of it was Holy Night, Peaceful Night. The next page is, "O Holy Night." I knew those weren't the right words. Sorry about that. Okay, we'll start again. It says, "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angels' voices. O night, when Christ was born. O night divine. O night divine. It says, truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raises. Let all within us praise his holy name. It says, Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory forevermore. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Okay, thank you, Sister Kate. You know, I had asked Kate ahead of time. I said, I'm gonna mention you, and she's like, that's okay. But we know how beautiful she can play, and she can play anything. She'll play for the choir in a little bit, and she does runs, she does everything, and she's been blessed. And she knows that God has blessed her with these talents in her life. But she just didn't just have the talent and could play on the piano and just do everything. He had to give her these talents, but she had to work at it. She had to work with the talent that God gave her. And so now she is a wonderful musician, and we love to have her in the church to be able to play all this beautiful music. And so I ask, in our lives, you know, God has given us each a talent. I mentioned, you know, one of my talents is a good memory, you know. And do I use it for the good? You know, do I use it that, you know, everybody likes people to know who they are? And so that's a talent, but if I don't use it and I just walk by everybody, if I'm in there with these children and I just don't talk to them, don't point out things, don't use the talent God has given me. So each one is, when we go from here, think of what talents. We all have talents. Some will say, I don't have talent. It might be not be music, but God has given each one of us a talent that we can use in glorifying him. And so how important it is for us to glorify him. And I'm going to read in O Holy Night, the second verse, and it says, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. You know, so think of those words. Truly he has taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Do we live peaceably? Do we try to live peaceably with all? You know, God has given us which is good. We all have our own thoughts. We all have, he's blessed us each with our own personalities. But we must live in a love for others and for all. I'm going to turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read 7 through 21, and it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. He wants us to have that love. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, we are here knowing that, you know, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love that God has to us. God is love, and he hath dwelleth in the love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out our fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, I'm going to turn also to Moroni, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to start with 50. Moroni, 7th chapter, page 768. And it says, if a man be meek and lowly in heart, confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind, envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. You know, do we have that love? And it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it in the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all those that are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, in our lives, do we, we say, oh, does love come naturally? Can I love this person that's not very nice to me? You know, and it's hard. I mean, It's hard. If somebody is not nice, if it's a bully, if it's somebody in your life but you just need to seek God. In this it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart. Pray to him that we can be better, that we can be that example of the love. It says, that you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, and we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. We must have that pure love of Christ. We need to show this love to all people. Not just some people, but all people. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2 says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." You know, so do we know? Do we know who we are? Somebody homeless comes off the street. You know, do we avoid them? Do we just show the love of God? Do we give them a smile? You know, or do we, in our lives, when we're out in the world, we're in a convenience store, we're getting gas, give a smile. Give a smile. Maybe that smile is that example that that person needs that is going to brighten their day. Let's place our focus on showing God's love to all, not just some. You know, if we seek the Lord and ask Him to be by our side, He will guide us in showing this love to all. And I have another scripture here, and it's in John 15. So John 15, 7 through 14, and this is Jesus speaking, and it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." You know, He's there for us. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled." You know, there's joy in our journey with the Lord. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You know, do we want to be the Lord's friend? Do we want to do what's right? And I know we all do. I have a poem here, and it's by Helen Steiner Rice. And it's called A Child's Faith. You know, as we talked, that humbleness of a child. You know, a child's faith. And it says, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little children ask no more, for love is all they're looking for. And in a small child's shining eyes, the faith of all the ages lies. And tiny hands and tousled heads that kneel in prayer by little beds are closer to the dear Lord's heart and of his kingdom more a part than we who search and never find the answers to our questioning mind. O Father, grant me one more to men, a simple childlike faith again." You know, tonight and tomorrow, when we are with our families, enjoying the love and fellowship with each other, you know, let's put away all selfishness. You know, we're going to have the joy of each other. Put away all selfishness. Think of others with this simplicity and humbleness of a little child. You know, so how important humbleness to our God, and doing those things that He wants us to do, being glorifying Him in the things we do in life, and how important at this Christmas time, as we remember the birth of our Son, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how important it is that we remember that sacrifice, that plan that was put in place, and that we need to follow His commandments and do those things that are pleasing unto him. So think of that when we're enjoy your day. We're all ready. We're all anticipating being with family, being with friends. When you're out in the world, as we're after the Christmas season, continue that love. Continue giving that smile, saying a kind word, noticing people, making them feel special. When you make someone feel special, I know in my heart it makes me feel special. It brings me joy. And so I want to remind us of why we're here today by reading, and I started with this, but Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So thank you. Have a joyous day. While the choir is getting in place, if you could turn to page 39 and just stay in your seat. But while they're getting in place, if you could sing that song. And